This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. Happy Saturday to you and yours. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Just think, 2 weeks from today, we're going to be getting you ready for 8 college football games. We're going to get you ready for a game over in Ireland as UNC will be taking on TCU. We heard from Brett Ciancia earlier in the show. Brett, by the way, gave out a win total that he likes, and we just tweeted it out at VSiN Live. He likes over 7.5 for Tennessee. You can listen to that explanation over on social media if you want to hear why Brett likes the Tennessee Volunteers to go over their win total. But he also said he likes UNC, or excuse me, slip there. He likes TCU. Now, if you're a contrarian, I would say I fancy myself more of the contrarian type, then you would be looking at UNC here. I have not bet that game. I have one week zero bet. We'll talk about that later on in the show. It's already up at VSiN.com/picks. But UNC, TCU, it's funny how things can shift. A year ago, everybody was on UNC. Now, no one wants to touch UNC with a 10-foot pole. Last week, Brad Powers gave out a win total of under 4.5 on UNC as a best bet here on this program. Speaking of best bets, we're going to talk some baseball with Mike Palm coming up in less than 15 minutes. He's just wrapping up his radio program in Chicago. We'll get his perspective on the Chicago Cubs, as well as very rare sight to see the Los Angeles Dodgers as home dogs. They are home dogs today with Jacob Mizorowski on the hill for the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers, look, I'm not going to say they need it, but it would be better than not to get a victory because the Cubs don't seem to lose many baseball games nowadays. And right now that lead in the NL Central is down to just 3 games. The Cubs are inching closer to taking care of, chasing down, easy for me to say, the Milwaukee Brewers. So we'll break down that game coming up in just a little bit when Mike Palm joins us in studio. But we do have 7 preseason games to get you ready for. And so far in this preseason, including the Hall of Fame game, underdogs 8-2 against the spread and unders 8-2 as well. So unders and underdogs so far very profitable here in the preseason. So 7 preseason games today. I'll be honest, the most intriguing one to me, and this is truly indicative of the preseason, right? It's the Cleveland Browns. And we're going to get more on the Cleveland Browns in hour number 2 when Jeff Phelps joins the show from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. But Deshaun Watson is going to be the starter today, and we will see Shedeur Sanders more than likely in the second half. Todd Monken talked about it, and we played the clip for you, that he really wants to see lots of opportunities for these two quarterbacks. Wants to see them in a two-minute drill, if they have the opportunity. So that's why I think Cleveland has moved to a 3-point favorite. Also, Caleb Williams not going to play in this game. It's going to be a lot of Tyson Badgett. Now, it is, of course, worth noting that line moves have not been profitable this preseason. You think back to Thursday, I think every line move ended up being wrong. You look at the Las Vegas Raiders close as about a 3-point favorite. They lose the game to the Arizona Cardinals. How about the Green Bay Packers? Packers were expected to play their starters. They did for one series. They kick a field goal, and that's it for Jordan Love and the starting offense. And the Pittsburgh Steelers end up winning that game 28-9. So the preseason is all about information, trying to get the best of the number, but sometimes these line moves don't lead you to water. So 3 games in the early window today, 1:00 Eastern kick times. We've got Buffalo taking on the Carolina Panthers. The expectation is that both of these teams will have their starters out there for a little bit. So we will see Josh Allen as they open up that new stadium there in Buffalo. Dave Canales did mention that we will see the Panthers starters. We did not see a bunch of them, including Bryce Young, in the Hall of Fame game a week ago. So right now, Buffalo sitting around a 2.5 or 3-point favorite. No real movement in that game between Buffalo and Carolina. Minnesota and New York, we played the clip for you guys to start the show. John Harbaugh, mum is the word there on who's going to play. You think back to his time in Baltimore, how successful the Ravens were during the preseason. Take that for what you will. Right now, 1.5, 2-point spread. Minnesota will have Kyler Murray and J.J. McCarthy playing in this game. Cleveland and Chicago, already mentioned this game. We've got a 3.5-point spread here. Cleveland anticipating to have that quarterback battle. Deshaun Watson will get the start, and we will see Shedeur Sanders early on in the second half, more than likely. Looking at the afternoon slate, we got the Rams taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, and this is a game in the regular season we would be drooling on this calendar right now to see Rams and Chiefs in the regular season because of, well, of who they are. Rams are the top power-rated team in the NFL. Now, we're not going to get Matthew Stafford in this game for the Los Angeles Rams. We're not going to get Patrick Mahomes in this game for the Kansas City Chiefs. No surprise there, coming off of the ACL injury. Right now, Circa has this game. I think it just ticked down to 2.5 is where the market's at in this one. Curiosity for this game is that backup quarterback battle for the Los Angeles Rams. Let's hear from Sean McVay on why it'll be Stetson Bennett getting the start today over Ty Simpson.
He will. Yep, he will play.
Sorry.
He will.
What are you hoping to see?
I think really just, you know, good command by both those guys, consistently making good decisions, playing within the timing and rhythm of, you know, whatever that play is that Nate decides to call, and want to see us get in and out of the huddle. You know, good communication. There'll be a lot of different guys that'll be kind of rotating in, but, you know, I want Stetson to be able to do what he's done, and I want Ty to be able to do what he's done as well, and it'll be fun to watch both those guys play.
Curious to see if Ty Simpson ends up winning that backup quarterback role there. And, you know, think about Ty Simpson, a guy that, was he going to be a first round pick? Was he not going to be a first round pick? Ends up being a mid first round pick there by the Los Angeles Rams. Was it a luxury situation for the Rams to go and get Ty Simpson, or did they just fall in love with Ty Simpson? They knew they couldn't get him later on. The Arizona Cardinals were hot and heavy for Ty Simpson. All the reports were saying that, as they were expecting to draft him later on in the first round after drafting Jeremiah Love with the third pick. By the way, speaking of Jeremiah Love and Fernando Mendoza, the number one and number three pick respectively in this most recent NFL draft, we'll talk a little offensive rookie of the year later on in the show, because you've seen some market movement. You know, we saw some after the Hall of Fame game, which was expected, a little overreaction to the Carson Beck performance in the Hall of Fame game. And now you see Jeremiah Love showing who he is, but it's a preseason game. Fernando Mendoza goes out, throws a nice touchdown pass to Besh, the former TCU wide receiver, and his number comes down a little bit as well. But when are we going to see Fernando Mendoza? Liam Cohen and the Jacksonville Jaguars, coming off of their big season a year ago, they get the New Orleans Saints today. Right now, the Saints around a 2.5-point favorite. Spencer Rattler going to get a bunch of playing time in this game. We will not see Trevor Lawrence for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Both of these teams resting most of their starters. But let's hear from Liam Cohen heading into this preseason opener for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I mean, that's with limited overall reps throughout a training camp is, look, we're going to keep it fairly simple in terms of the formations, the motions, the coverages, the calls. I just want to see a clean operation. I mean, that, and then just go play. Like, let's see who is going to be the guy that's going to go make plays when it's not perfect, right? What they, you know, we're not getting a ton of reps at maybe this play, and it gets right. Well, can they fix it? Can they fix any problems on Saturday that maybe we haven't shown them? Who can do that operation? And then who's going to win some one-on-one matchups, whether it's one-on-one pass pro, whether it's I'm covering the guy one-on-one, whether I got to defeat a one-on-one matchup at receiver, like who's going to go do that?
You know, a thing, and I mentioned it earlier in the show, and we've talked about it a bunch on VSiN Primetime, me and humans have, is the depth chart of quarterbacks. And it's so important to take a look at that depth chart. You're going to look at some names and say, wow, I can't believe that guy is going to be wearing an NFL uniform. You look at the Jaguars depth chart behind Trevor Lawrence, no Trevor Lawrence today. Is this a trio that you're looking to potentially back, which would be Nick Mullins, Carter Bradley, and Joey Aguilar. Those are the three quarterbacks behind Trevor Lawrence that are going to get the bulk of the action here today. Nick Mullins, Carter Bradley, and Joey Aguilar. And then you think about Spencer Rattler for the New Orleans Saints, had the starting job a year ago, loses it. Tyler Shuck now the face of that franchise down there in New Orleans. So do you get a little bit more from from Spencer Rattler in an opportunity to shine for, you know, let's be honest here. I don't know if the Saints would be willing to part ways with a Spencer Rattler. Why would you? But there are going to be teams that might be in need for a backup quarterback. And, you know, you look at a Washington with the situation that came about with Marcus Mariota, but that will be the situation there as New Orleans has flipped to the favorite against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Philadelphia and Baltimore, not expected to see many of the stars in that one, as that line has moved a little bit towards Philly, as they're now anywhere from a 3.5 to 4.5 point favorite, but no Jalen Hurts, no Saquon Barkley, no Lamar Jackson, no Derrick Henry in this game. We will get Andy Dalton and Tanner McKee. I actually don't hate that depth chart there at the quarterback position for the Philadelphia Eagles. And then lastly, you got the Dallas Cowboys and the Seattle Seahawks. Brian Schottenheimer talked about it, and we played the clip for you. We should see Caleb Downs making his debut as a member of the Dallas Cowboys. Big day in baseball as the Chicago Cubs red hot. Can they knock off the Cardinals an inch closer again to the Milwaukee Brewers? We'll talk to Mike Palm. He'll join us in studio next.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
I still can't believe we're here. Giving it out for this little amount of money, Mike Palm. We got to talk to Bill Ady about this. We got an intro offer for $9.99. You know, we love our buddy Brett Ciancia at Pick Six Previews, Phil Steele. I mean, their preview magazine is like $15-$20. Oh. How about this? $9.99. Check it out, vsin.com. You got our college football betting guide, 345 pages, every team broken down, best bets galore, Paul Stone's top 15 quarterbacks, and you can get our NFL betting guide for that intro offer. We're giving it away for free. Well, not technically. It's $9.99.
Well, that's a lot cheaper than paying for Paul Stone's $8.99 for his package, right? I mean, so humans did a great job here, and it's chock full. Probably of all the guides, it has the most information, the most teams.
It's really great. Shout out to Adam Burke, Wes Reynolds, JVT, Zach Cohen, Matt Humans, Steve Mackinnon. There's so much information there. Lots of best bets. I want to get a little college football. And we only have one segment with Mike. I said, I usually use you for two. I don't have the budget today to keep you for two.
Yeah.
And Warren Sharp's going to join us in 15 minutes. But I digress. Let's talk a little baseball because we have not talked a ton of baseball yet this morning because we have preseason football. And, you know, I'm jonesing for a little college football as well, but you're fresh off the score up there in Chicago. Check out his show every Saturday morning. If you could figure out how to listen to Mike and me at the same time, that would be great. Maybe two different earbuds. I don't know.
Well, both shows are on demand. So, I mean, you can go to the VSiN website and hear your show later, or you can go to the Odyssey website and hear my show later. Listen to one, listen to the other.
Problem solver right here, Mike Palm. The Chicago Cubs are on fire. A shutout win yesterday over the Cardinals. I'm sure Cubs fans are thrilled to see that performance from Clay Holmes. And Humans, my always optimistic partner in crime on VSiN Primetime, texted me during the week and said, Brewers are done. Do you believe that? Are the Cubs going to chase him down?
Well, they got some kid named Jacob Mizorowski going tonight in L.A., so I think they're...
Seeing the Dodgers as a home dog, do you have to, like, double... Do you have to, like, get the dust out of your eyes to see that?
I think in the last 4 years, they've only been a home dog twice. They were a home dog last year to Max Fried early in the season, and now I'm with Mizorowski. That's it. No, I don't think it's over. But think about this. Before the trade deadline, if you wanted to bet who's the one seed in each... The Cubs were 70-1. Now I think they're like 11-1 now. I mean, it's an incredible. They're hitting the ball. Big thing with Holmes. I mean, he really struggled that first start off the leg injury for the Cubs in Kansas City. I said 15.5 seems too high for the outs. He almost went seven. Yeah. One hit ball. He was terrific. The bullpen. That's the best time to be at Wrigley, those Friday 120 games. You shut out your rival Cardinals. Everybody partying on the north side. You come back today. You know, with a pitcher that's 8-1 going up against the Cardinals. I played this game under, Tim, under 9, and I'll tell you why. Matt Boyd against McGreevy. It's raining, and it looks like it's going to rain right to first pitch in Chicago. That typically depresses the scoring. There wasn't much hitting yesterday, just a 3-run bomb from Seiya Suzuki. And so I went under 9. I thought it was high. Remember when they played the Yankees in that kind of rainy Saturday a couple weeks ago, the total was 6.5. So I just thought the 9 was out of line.
You know, we had Alex Cohen, who is one of the play-by-play broadcasters for the Cubs on Marquee. Obviously, Boog Shambi's the main dog there, but he gets a lot of the Sunday games. And I asked him, you know, he's a little bit of a homer, of course. But I said, who's got the firepower to beat the Dodgers? And obviously, the Cubs just swept the Dodgers not that long ago. He felt like the Cubs did. He felt like the Phillies did. But he did not mention the Brewers. Thinking about the NL, I'll ask you the same question. Do the Cubs have the firepower to knock off the Dodgers in a 5 or 7-game series, Phillies, and what do you think about the Brewers' chances in the playoffs?
Disappointed the Brewers didn't add any hitting at the trade deadline. That was it. Ultimately, they scored 1, 2, 3, 4 runs in those 4 games.
I know Diaz is a disaster, but like I was listening to their game on Friday night driving home from work, and once they gave up the home run to Muncy, I'm like, game's over. There's no way they're coming back. And they do it in the 9th inning, but it's so hard to trust that offense.
The problem when you're playing the Dodgers is that you're going to get Yamamoto twice or 3 times in this. This guy just doesn't lose big games.
Yeah.
He just doesn't lose big games. Snell came back, good velocity. You know, you've got a lot of options there. Speaking of the NL,
guy by the name of Scooble.
MVP race.
Yeah.
Scooble. MVP race. Looks like Otani's going to make a couple starts in September. That might really tip that market. Like, as soon as it's announced he's starting, isn't the market going to shift drastically? So you might as well get him at minus 105 or minus 110 right now. I'm disappointed in the Brewers. I have the Brewers at 3-1 to win the division, the Cubs minus 120 from before the year. I'm almost thinking about taking this 11-1 on the Cubs' best record in the National League.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean there's not a shot there.
They're only. I mean, if they catch the Brewers, there's a good chance.
Right, because the Brewers are a little ahead of the Phillies and the Dodgers,
and they got 7 games against the Brewers still left in the season. So I don't think it's a crazy look for them to have the best record in the National League. I know a loyal listener of ours. I talked about it last week. I think he said he took 80-1 on the Cubs to be the one seed. So
it's terrific.
Nice little ticket to have in your back pocket. Anything else on the card today, baseball-wise, jumping out to you? So you got Cubs under 9. That's an early game at Wrigley. That'll be a 120 local first pitch there at Wrigley.
If they go off. It's still, still raining. By the way, the Bears play at noon local time. They're 10 a.m.
Are they still in Chicago or are they in Hammond?
No, this game, I think, is still in
Chicago. Okay, I wasn't sure.
It's still in Chicago.
But don't worry, the Bears are doing great, according to Kevin Warren.
Well, he was so good as the commissioner of the Big Ten. Tigers, Melton. This Melton kid is unbelievable, isn't he? Whoa. He's got 8 straight starts at 2 earned runs or less. They're 11-2 in his 13
starts. The gentleman who's in charge of this joint, Derek Stevens, a little bit of a homer when it comes to the Tigers. He goes, we kept our best pitcher. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, Melton.
Well, they kept Scooble last year. They tanked. Got rid of him. They sent that cancer to the Dodgers. I bet, Kay's been good since he moved on the rubber. I bet the first 5 under 4 here in that game. What a huge win for the White Sox last night. You had to call up a AAA guy. You get down 3-1, and the bats rally you, so you stay 3.5 ahead in the division there. I went over outs on Logan Webb against Colorado today, so he needs 6 innings. I got over 17.5, laid the price there. And then how about these Twins? Throw Dean Kramer out because he hasn't been infected with whatever the disease is in MSP. Throw his 2 starts out. 11 of 12, they've given up a run in the first inning. and this frumpy pre-lip going today against the Phillies. I'll take Yerfy.
You mentioned this last week, and I'm like, you know, this is such a great angle, so I, of course, keep an eye on it. Boom hits on Saturday. You gave it out.
Boom hits again on Sunday as well.
You're an Iowa guy. Do you like the Field of Dreams game?
I think it's getting to be too janky. I mean, really? Who cares about Phillies and Twins? I mean, it's ridiculous. These guys are coming out of the corn with walkers. Nobody hangs on to these old people like baseball. I see next year Kansas City. We'll have Brett in the booth. I mean, what was Clemens doing there? I don't get any of it.
By the way, Barry Bonds, it's funny how his head shrunk a little bit after his playing days. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, maybe a different cocktail recipe that he's got going on now.
I want to read you a quote. Mike Palm here in studio with us. Transition a little bit to college football. Kirk Cignetti in Indiana, they could do no wrong. If he fell out of a boat and started walking on water, I'd be like, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, he can do no wrong. That said, this is a quote courtesy of the Big Ten Network. I'd like to play Notre Dame. Full stop. No, you wouldn't. You canceled that head-to-head matchup. We continue. They ought to come to our place twice, and we'll go there once since they're not in a conference. Quote from Kirk Cignetti. He's feeling himself. He's feeling his oats right now. Hey, man, you win a title at Indiana. You know, you do what you do.
You get to play them in the playoffs, don't they? I mean, they had their shot.
I think that happened, didn't it?
They had their shot. He screwed that game up.
Wait, Tim.
They were so worried that wasn't a catch. They were so worried that they rushed that play at the goal line, and it becomes the turnover. And it really, I mean, their defense was playing well early. They played well in that game.
They got an interception.
I thought he panicked. I thought he coached a poor game there in South Bend on that Friday night.
You know, it's funny. All things have been forgotten, and as they should. They're champions for a reason. But I came on this show after that game, and I lit into Cignetti because he went on game day and talked about, hey, we beat the bleep out of everybody, yada, yada, yada. And then down 20-3 in the fourth quarter, he punted inside Notre Dame's territory, and Notre Dame went right down the field. All right. You just talked to Northwestern's head coach, David Braun.
Yeah.
Any optimism, reason for optimism there with the Purple Cats?
Boy, they're opening an $862 million new Ryan Field.
Friday night game against Penn State. Keep an eye on that one.
Not good Campbell. Not good in close games, but they raised a lot of money. Obviously, the Ryan family. They're excited about that. They didn't make it bigger. They shrunk the field.
Yeah.
Because they wanted it to be the best home field advantage. Obviously, they brought Chip Kelly in. They're excited about that. Quentin Childs, the guy they got coming from Michigan State, the quarterback.
Aiden
Childs. They have to replace their pass rush. That's the big thing on defense. But he wants to change expectations. He's summoning the ghost of Gary Barnett in this Why Not Us. I said, is that Barnett or Obama? I asked him this question, Tim. Kurt Ferentz has had a pretty nice life setting expectations at 8 or 9 wins at Iowa. They've won the most games of any team not to make a playoffs. He has a job for life there. Don't you worry about setting expectations too high to where you won't be at Northwestern anymore.
What'd he say?
Well, he had his you know, we got it, institution. We're aligned vertically, horizontally. Good for them. Watch out for South Dakota State week one.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of interesting FBS games to keep an eye on. Mike Palm, Palm Saturdays, the Maestro. Follow him on Twitter at Circa Maestro. Let's talk a little NFL with Warren Sharp next.
Tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
From one great mind to another, and I'm not talking about me. You know, I'm just a big dope here sitting and talking into this microphone. From Mike Palm to Warren Sharp. Warren Sharp joins us right now. You can follow him on social media at Sharp Football, sharpfootballanalysis.com. Look at this bad boy. I came home from vacation, and this was waiting for me. Look at this thing. Oh, my gosh. I don't know how anyone, any human can write this thing, but Warren Sharp's NFL guide is out right now. We've got some exciting news regarding this bad boy, but I gotta make people wait, Warren. We can't give away the juice right
now.
So we will wait till the end. So stick around here. But let's jump right into it. And the Carolina Panthers in action today, one of 7 games in the preseason. You know, they win the division a year ago, Warren. It was a bizarre way to win a division, losing that game on Saturday to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they get help on that Sunday. So looking ahead to this upcoming season, I'm curious your outlook on Bryce Young and the Panthers fresh off of a NFC South crown.
Look, I'm down on the Carolina Panthers in general. I know this team went to the postseason last year and didn't look terrible in doing so against the LA Rams. But I think Bryce Young is due for regression on a number of fronts. First and foremost, everybody was expecting Bryce Young to look better in 2025 because of the way that he finished the last few weeks of 2024 season, where he was ranking top 10 in a variety of metrics. And Bryce Young obviously did a little bit better. He had a career year last year in 2025. The problem is that that still ranked 32nd in the NFL in EPA per pass attempt. He still ranked 31st in the NFL in success rate. He still was one of, if not the worst starting quarterback statistically in the NFL last season. He also has been a player who has been healthy all 3 years of his entire career. The only time that he played less than 16 games was when he was benched 2 years ago in the 2024 season for Andy Dalton. So he's been exceedingly healthy for a player of his diminutive stature, his wiry frame. He's not the biggest, tallest, strongest quarterback out there. I just think some of these things are going to have to ultimately regress. I think we saw Bryce Young and the way that they orchestrated this offense last year in Carolina. They dropped his target depth by 2 full yards. They had him throwing the ball shorter, more underneath. Now they lost some running backs in the backfield. We know that Chuba Hubbard is injured. We don't know how long he is going to be out this preseason. He was supposed to be competing for that running back one spot. They obviously lost Rico Dowdle in the offseason to free agency. Jonathan Brooks, returning from multiple injuries, is going to now be their starter, and supposedly he looks good. We'll see him maybe later today in their preseason game. I just think that this is a Carolina Panthers team who saw the best that they could possibly get last season, and I think that they are going to regress. This is why I took them under their win total. It's why I took Bryce Young under his passing yards prop. Like, if you look at passing yardage, the best way to bet these season-long props for passing yardage is to go under. And even though Bryce Young's total is pretty low, the fact remains that these quarterbacks don't end up averaging 16, 17 starts a year. You think that they're the starter. The average quarterback over the last 4 years is starting just under 14 and a half games each season. And if Bryce Young were to start about 14 and a half games, he would need to average 225 yards passing to go over his passing yards prop. He threw more than 225 yards just 3 times all season last year. And that was against a number 5 easiest schedule of opposing pass defenses. This year, I've got the Carolina Panthers going up against the number 2 most difficult schedule of opposing pass defenses. Massive step up in competition for Bryce Young and this passing attack. I just don't know if they're going to be able to get there. So I'm fading the Panthers in a couple of different markets this season.
Warren Sharp joining us here, breaking it down with us from an analytical standpoint. Make sure you check out the football preview guide over at sharpfootballanalysis.com. Once again, some interesting and exciting stuff here in just a moment. We'll tell you about here from Warren. But, you know, you sell a little bit high on the Panthers, right, coming off of an NFC South crown. It does feel like an opportunity to buy low on C.J. Stroud. If you look at Mike Sando's tiers article that we talk about oh so often every offseason, he's dropped to number 20, dropped down to tier 3. We remember how he performed in that playoff game. But I think, Warren, the way you look at it, is this an opportunity to buy a little bit low on C.J. Stroud, and maybe buy low on this Texans team?
Yeah, I look at the Houston Texans and specifically C.J. Stroud. When you look at these tiers and these rankings and these votes from different coaches and things of that nature, C.J. Stroud is very close to Bryce Young at this point in a lot of people's minds. And I just think that these are still two vastly different quarterbacks. If you look at the circumstances, which you always have to factor into handicapping and outlooks, last year for the Houston Texans, it was devastating. They had top 5 most injured tight end core, top 5 most injured wide receiver core. And then if you look at this running game was supposed to be led by Joe Mixon. He was supposed to be the running back 1. Joe Mixon didn't play a single snap for the Houston Texans last season. Instead, they had to go to a 4th round rookie running back named Woody Marks, who came in to be the running back number 1. But as it turned out, Woody Marks was terrible in pass protection and could not catch the ball very effectively out of the backfield. So they had to insert Nick Chubb, who is well beyond his glory days, as their kind of 1A, 1B running back. no surprise then that the running game was absolutely terrible. The other factor into the running game and the passing game to a degree was the fact that they had Nick Caley, an offense coordinator who came from the Los Angeles Rams, who installed a run man-blocking run scheme for the Houston Texans last year. The Texans had been a top three rate of zone blocking the prior year. Their offensive linemen had to learn this new blocking scheme. They were ill-equipped to execute it. The running game was a disaster. C.J. Stroud was basically carrying this offense by himself. Everybody knew when it was going to be a passing play. They always were behind the sticks. It was a bad situation. Fast forward to this offseason. They go out, they overhaul the offensive line. They're sticking with the man blocking scheme, but now they might have offensive linemen who are capable of executing it well. Then you look at, they went and acquired David Montgomery from the Detroit Lions. David Montgomery is actually one of the most efficient runners in the entirety of the NFL, running behind man blocking schemes. If this offense is a little bit healthier at the tight end and receiver position, I think CJ Stroud definitely looks much better this upcoming season. And that's really all this Houston Texans team needs, because this defense is just simply one of the most buttoned up units in the entire NFL, led by their head coach, DeMeco Ryans. I think this team, everybody is fascinated with the Jacksonville Jaguars and Liam Cohen. And believe me, I was as well, with, you know, the offense and the firepower that they've got down there in Jacksonville. And obviously they won 13 games and won the AFC South last year. I just think the Houston Texans are a more consistent team with a little bit of a higher floor as well, given the fact that I think their offense will be better and their defense is just so elite.
At Sharp Football is where you can find him on Twitter, sharpfootballanalysis.com. You can get the hard copy, but you could also get the digital copy of this 600-page beast. How much is it running these days, that digital copy, Warren?
So the digital copy is $34.99 over on sharpfootballanalysis.com. But Tim, for you, I've been old buddies with you back in some of your former stops in the DC area. We go back a ways. I want to do something special for the viewers today only. If you go over to sharpfootballanalysis.com and put in code VSIN when you're getting this book, it will drop the price to a grand total of $0.00. That's right. We're giving away the PDF version of my 2026 football preview, which is 619 pages with a chapter on each team, absolutely for free over at Sharp Football Analysis.
Woo, beautiful. I just tried it out. He's not lying. $0. I just put it in there. Promo code VSIN. All right, before we let you run, we got about 90 seconds here. We saw the Dolphins last night. They lose to Washington in your backyard there in the D.C. area. Right now, for them to be the worst team, worst record in the NFL, you're looking at like plus 350, plus 375. Why does that number jump out to you?
I think the Arizona Cardinals have looked better and done some more things and have a little bit of a higher upside this offseason. The Miami Dolphins are in a terrible situation. I don't like their coaching staff. They probably have the worst secondary in the NFL, maybe one of the worst rosters in the NFL as well. I don't think their quarterback is going to pair very well with that defensive style. The way that he was successful in Green Bay was the Green Bay Packers' great defense holding opponents to like 10 points, 13 points. Teams are going to cut right through the Miami Dolphins. Case in point, last night, the Washington Commanders running backs had 36 rushing attempts. Tim, do you know how many of those 36 rushing attempts lost a yard, lost any amount of yardage? A grand total of zero, the same price as my book. 36 rushing attempts, no losses on those attempts. This Miami Dolphins defense is terrible. They are going to struggle next season.
All right, looking forward to that. Real quickly, I know you've got a trend. I don't know if we have enough time, but 30 seconds. Is there a trend to keep an eye on preseason-wise?
These teams are utilizing a lot more under center dropbacks. Just pay close attention to it. It's the new wave of 2026. Let's see which quarterbacks who used to use a lot of shotgun, like Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow, struggle under center or excel under center.
Once again, sharpfootballanalysis.com. You can get Warren's preview magazine for free. Promo code VSIN, but just today. So make sure you use it, sharpfootballanalysis.com. Warren, great stuff as always. Great to check in with you as always, too.
Thanks, Tim.
There he is, Warren Sharp. Good analysis there, and a nice little promo code.
Tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Oh, baby. It's back. VSiN on the clock for the second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. 13 VSiN hosts and guests face off in a fantasy football snake draft hosted by the man, the myth, the legend, Dustin Swedelson. Win totals, division winners, player props, and stat leaders. Last year's competitors are all back for round two, joined by three newcomers, including Keyshawn Johnson, Nick Buckeye, and the guru himself, John Hansen. Don't just watch the Futures Draft, profit from it. Tune in this Thursday, August 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Patrick Maher was our champ last year. I believe Humans and I finished second and third. I think Humans was second and I was third. So good showing by VSiN Primetime last year. And we will do our best to bring home the crown. So check it out Thursday. A lot of fun last year. We're going to have, I believe, four people on this desk. Me, myself, me and Matt Humans. I believe Stormy and JVT will all be over at Bar Canada as well. By the way, newest episode of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast is out. We'll get another clip from Matt Humans coming up top of the hour. So it felt good to have the band back together. And shout out to Chris Tanner, loyal listener to VSiN. Happy 62nd birthday to you, Chris. So hopefully you're enjoying a nice day here on the Big 6-2. So enjoy yourself. I know you're up and at 'em and watching some VSiN here on this Saturday morning. It feels good to be back talking some football. Great insight there from Warren Sharp. Once again, if you missed it, sharpfootballanalysis.com. You can get his preview magazine, the PDF, for free. Just use the promo code VSiN, but only today. So maybe that is another birthday present to our guy Chris on his 62nd birthday. We're going to talk some college football coming up top of the hour and take a look at a unique prop that Chris Andrews and the folks over at South Point put up for the futures market. But speaking of futures, this time of year, we're getting our first eyes on these rookies. And what does it mean for the rookie of the year market? So you think about Fernando Mendoza and what we saw from him on Thursday. And in that game, Jeremiah Love. I think the offensive rookie of the year market is really fascinating this year. I know fascinating is a overused word, but you have Jeremiah Love, who's your betting favorite. And pound for pound, yes, Notre Dame Homer speaking here, but pound for pound, I do think Jeremiah Love is better, or a better prospect, if you will, than Ashton Jeanty. Why do I bring up Ashton Jeanty? Well, he was the sixth overall pick a year ago, Jeremiah Love, third overall pick this year, and Ashton Jeanty really struggled as a rookie. Under 1,000 yards rushing, and Jeremiah Love, he had some moments on Thursday night. And you just heard from Warren Sharp. He thinks that that Arizona team is going to be maybe a bit more capable than expectations have them. And you look at Arizona as the betting favorite right now at plus 250 to have the fewest wins. Warren said he likes the Dolphins actually to go with the fewest wins. And that right now at DraftKings is plus 350. Look around if you could find a little better price. But he likes the Dolphins to be the worst team. And is that because of what is possible from the offense of the Arizona Cardinals? So should that indicate that you look at Jeremiah Love? I just think the number for me is a little bit too short. Then you got Fernando Mendoza. I think for Fernando Mendoza, I don't think there's any urgency right now to bet him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Everything out of Raiders camp, even though it sounds like Clint Kubiak wants to see more of Fernando Mendoza, but everything out of Raiders camp is that Kirk Cousins is going to be the guy to start the season. And the question is, when does Fernando Mendoza take over as the starter? But right now, if you're looking at that 5-6-1 range on Fernando Mendoza, once Kirk Cousins is announced the starter, doesn't that number start to drift a little bit higher? I do think Fernando Mendoza at some point is probably worth a play. Because you think back to last year, Tyler Shuck, there was a massive overreaction in the market when he had some big games down the stretch. And then, lo and behold, he doesn't win Offensive Rookie of the Year. So you think about Tet McMillen a year ago, there was opportunities late in the season to get him at, you know, 3-1 or so. So when you look at this rookie of the year market, you see a guy like Dejan Stribling having a big preseason game. You see the market move a little bit on Stribling as well. He had, what, 7 catches in the first half of that preseason game for the 49ers, and with the injuries that they've been dealing with out there in San Francisco, could Stribling be a guy to take a look at? I don't actually hate that play, and maybe it's a bit of an overreaction. I try not to overreact too much to where the market's at, but Stribling, I think, is kind of an intriguing option there, sitting there at 20-1. I talked about it last week. I did bet Jadarian Price at 9-1. I'm not in love with the bet. I think it is a short price, and obviously you've seen the market at other sports books drop to like 6 or plus 650. I do think with the injury to Charbonnet, with Kenneth Walker moving on to Kansas City, and the fact that, I mean, look at that board right now. Who steps into the best situation as a rookie? I mean, you could say, I guess, Mekhi Lemon going to Philadelphia, but I think for me, Jadarian Price from a situation is intriguing, but you look at Stribling there and you look at the injuries that the 49ers are dealing with at the wide receiver position or the pass catching position, and you bring in a Mike Evans, you bring in a Deebo Samuel. I mean, Deebo Samuel's a guy, you bring in a Christian Kirk. Deebo Samuel's a guy that's certainly dealt with nicks and knacks over his years. Mike Evans, too. They do not have Ricky Pearsall for the entire season. Brandon Ayuk is who knows. So I think Stribling would be a guy if you're looking in that medium to long-ish shot is kind of an intriguing option there to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. So you're seeing these preseason games, and I'm kind of doing the thing that I shouldn't do, which is overreact to a performance in a preseason game. But I'm going to keep my eye on Stribling. Not betting it yet, and knowing the pieces that they have, and you think about Christian McCaffrey, obviously there as well, but that's one I want to keep a close eye on there would be Dejan Stribling out of Ole Miss. Flipping to the defensive side, I did make another bet in Defensive Rookie of the Year. Once again, we talked about this last week, and I think understandably so, the favorites in this Defensive Rookie of the Year market are going to be the pass rushers. David Bailey going to the Jets. Reuben Bain is the betting favorite going to Tampa. You look a little bit further down, a guy like Akeem Mezidor. We had on Thor Nystrom. I thought he had a really good point on Arvel Reis. Arvel Reis, the high upside kind of raw prospect coming out of Ohio State. He liked his sack total to go under this year. So for me, the two guys that I was contemplating betting and ultimately got to the window on one of them were the two teammates from Ohio State, not Arvel Reis, and that was Caleb Downs and Sonny Styles. I do anticipate Caleb Downs to have a massive year. I think the Dallas Cowboys, as much as I hate to say it, and hopefully Dave Ross is sleeping in on this Saturday morning, I actually kind of like the Cowboys to win the NFC East. I don't like them to go deep into the playoffs, because why would I like the Cowboys to go deep in the playoffs? But you know, we had Sam Munson, formerly of Pro Football Focus, on the show earlier this week, and he said similarly about Cincinnati and Dallas, if you can just get serviceable defense, the offense should be good enough. And there just seems to be something a bit off there in Philadelphia. So Dallas over their win total, I know, is something that's been popped over the offseason. I do like them to win the NFC East, but I did not bet Caleb Downs to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. The bet that I did make here at Circa was Sonny Styles at plus 875. So look around, you might be able to get a little bit better number, but my expectation is that Sonny Styles steps in to Washington with Dan Quinn as his head coach, and he's a tackling machine. And if you can get those volume tackles, is that going to be enough to get him Rookie of the Year candidacy? So those are my two bets that I made, but Stribling's going to be a guy that I want to keep a closer eye on with the injuries that the 49ers have dealt with at the pass-catching position, with McCaffrey dealing already with a little bit of nicks and knacks in training camp. I do wonder if Stribling is a guy that ends up having a really strong rookie year? Or is it going to be the classic case of a guy that emerges in the preseason because the best pass catchers, Deebo Samuel and Mike Evans, are taking it easy in the preseason? 7 preseason games today in the NFL. We'll get a little insight on one of those in-depth, Cleveland, coming up in 20 minutes. But we are 2 weeks away from the start of the college football season. We'll break down a little week 0 thoughts and futures as well.